found most of the time when Jesus had the multitudes, we found something that he said quite often, those of us that studied it, is he sent the multitude away a lot of times. He would send the multitude away, and sometimes when he wanted to work a big miracle, he would separate the person that needed the miracle from the multitude. Or he would take them apart from the multitude. And I was studying this, reading the word this morning, and I found one case. I found one time in the Bible when he called the multitude. Usually the multitudes just came, but in one portion, he called the multitude, and that is, let's go there to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. This is where he calls the multitude.
And calling near the crowd with his disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross, and let him follow me. For whoever desires to save his soul, he shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his soul for my sake and the gospel, that one shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, yet damage his soul? Or what shall a man give as an exchange for his soul? For whoever may be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father along with the holy angels."
Now those of you that study the multitude, don't you see the scripture different than the other? "And he called the people unto him." You don't usually see that. Does anybody think that's weird? Anybody didn't have that class last night, you say, no, that's not true. But after that class last night, you're going to find that that is different, isn't it? We read so many scriptures. We read more scriptures where after he had taught them, he taught them a little bit of things. And what did he usually teach the multitude? What did he usually teach the multitude in? Parables. The multitude would just show up. They would just show up. The multitudes would show up. And big crowds would show up. He would teach them in parables, and then he would send them away. Well, this is one case where he called the people unto him. And when he called the people unto him, he gave them this parable. "Whosoever will come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we are called to do what? Whosoever will come after me. It says whoever wants to break the lines and follow Jesus. There were people that wanted to follow Jesus, but they didn't. See, one guy wanted to follow Jesus, but he wasn't willing to take up his cross. Remember the rich young ruler? You know, and Jesus said, do this, and then you can follow. He wanted to follow Jesus. And God said, no, you can't follow me because you're not able to do this. How many want to be a follower of Jesus? A follower of Jesus is different than just simply a believer of Jesus. It's not enough. Well, if you want to be close in those services up there, you got to live a little bit differently down here. And how many are going for the crown? You got to rent. It's like the Bible said, you got to run the race as like a prize winner. You know, you got to run, and you got to run with the intention to win. Say, I'm going to come out on top. I just don't want to come out, but I want to come out ahead. Well, if you want to do that, it says, whoever will come after me, let him deny self-denial and take up your cross and follow Jesus. To look at somebody and say, you got a cross. God wants you to stay close. We've got to cover the teaching. What teaching did he push to the multitude? What's the most important one he preached to the multitude? Parable. Sower. That principle, the parable of the sower, is basically the whole essence of multitude versus disciple. Okay? Those that bring in the hundredfold return, I believe, are the fivefold ministers. So that's a hundredfold return there. And God doesn't want you to be 30% people. He doesn't want you to be people that just don't have any return whatsoever. He wants you, and this parable is basically, you know, you want to increase in your own life, and you want to prosper in your own life, and you want to see good things come to you. But the Bible really says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Prosperity is coming your way. You just do the right thing and prosperity will come. But you need to start to think about the kingdom to come. How you can be most effective in this lifestyle. And in this life, you've got to be effective. You want to go to heaven with lots of souls. Say, I want to do some damage on the devil before I go. Why? Because what we taught before, we want the Lord to say, well done, thy good and faithful, and not what? Well, Some people live Christian lifestyles to where they just get by and they show up in the heaven and God says, well, he looks at one person and says, well done, thy good. What does good mean? A good tree. You know a good tree by what? How is God going to judge a good tree? By its fruit. So obviously the one that he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant, he called that servant good because he saw fruit. Did he see how much money that man had? No, because those things do what? They perish. So when Jesus judged that person, he judged that person in the kingdom to come. So what he judged were the things that do not perish away. So he looked at that and said, we want to hear God say, well done, thy good. And he can only say good by the fruit you bear. Good and faithful servant. Now, how many of you have heard the faith message? Look at somebody and say, I'm about to bear fruit. Look out. It's harvest time. I'm ready to bear fruit in both kingdoms. Now I'm going to prosper in this kingdom, but I'm about to bear some spiritual fruit. I'm about to preach the word. You're about to see souls get saved. I'm about to become fruitful. There's about to be a multiplication. I'm about to do what God told me to do. He said, be ye fruitful and multiply. If you're a prayer warrior, say, I'm about to make me another prayer warrior. If you're an evangelist, you're about to make yourself another evangelist. If you're a pastor, you're about to make some more pastors. Be fruitful and multiply, because Jesus is coming. It's time to put the world behind us and the cross before us and get effective for the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming. But you're not going to be able to bear fruit until you learn how to receive the word of God, the seed of the word of God within you. You're just vessels. Now, we notice that in Mark chapter 4, this is a very important. No person can become productive in their Christian life without a revelation of the scripture. So if you get this teaching in your heart and learn to work it, you can expect increase. How many want to see some increase?
And again, he began to teach by the sea, and a large crowd was gathered to him, so that he entered into the boat in order to sit in the sea.
Why did he go into the boat? What did he usually do when there was a multitude?
He got away from them.
He usually put a distance between himself and the multitude. He usually distanced himself between he and the multitude. He would usually teach from a mountain, or he would get, I mean, there were places where he would back up to the water, and water means you can't go any farther, you know, or he would teach from a ship. So he distanced himself from the multitude, and he began to teach them. Go on, Jesse.
And all the crowd were on the land toward the sea, and he taught them many things in parables, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, it happened that one indeed fell by the wayside, and the birds of heaven came and ate it up. And another fell on the stony place where it did not have much earth, and it sprang up at once due to not having deepness of earth. And the sun rising, it was scorched, and through not having root, it was dried out. And another fell into the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it did not yield fruit. And another fell into the good ground, and yielding fruit, going up and increasing. And one bore 30, and 160, and 100-fold. And he said to them, the one having ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him as to the parable. And he said to them, to you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to these, those outside...
Who are these? Who are these?
The multitude.
So it wasn't... The multitude wasn't to get what? The knowledge of what the parable meant. And we said one thing. People were saying, hey, it must have been a miracle for all those multitude of people to hear everything he was saying with no microphones. Maybe yes. Maybe no. Maybe some people didn't hear what he said, just because they were so far away that they couldn't hear. There was no scripture in the Bible, even though he taught them, he taught, but there's no scripture in the Bible said that there was any amplification for all the people that were gathered there to hear everything that came out of his mouth. So the ones that were close enough, those that were close enough, could hear and discern what he's saying. And it's the same way today. Many people want to hear what the Spirit of God's trying to say from a distance. And they want to find out what's going on, but they want to come in on half the message, half the word. You've got to come, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You got to press in to Jesus. You can't, listen, Christianity and church life is not one to be experienced from a distance. It's a hands-on religion. He's a hands-on God, and you've got to get right in the middle of it. Don't become a part of the multitude, but become a disciple where you can get it up close. Notice that Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit's trying to say. And of course, he's talking about a spiritual ear, that you're able to discern it by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. But also, many times, how are you going to have a spiritual ear when you don't have a natural ear? Notice that the spiritual ear is developed by the natural ear, by hearing the word. You know that words can defile you. The things that you hear the most have the ability to change what you are. So what is God trying to say to us? I'm discerning in the Holy Ghost that God's saying, listen, don't be far off. Get up close to what's going on. Press through the crowd and get close. Get as close to Jesus as you can get. Those that have a desire to press through the crowd and get there are going to make it. There are a whole lot of people on the outskirts. A whole lot of people on the outskirts just briskly just getting a catch here and a little piece there, running here and running here. You got to plant yourself beside Jesus and attend. You need to give attention to what the Lord said. There was no such thing as a disciple that didn't hear what Jesus was saying. Every disciple, that they caught his messages. Imagine how attentive those disciples were that they could literally write down word for word what the man said. How do we get the word of God? How do we get the Bible? How do we get all the parables that he taught word for word? And some of these books were written years after the fact. So how were these disciples, how did they have the ability to remember what Jesus said years after the fact? Why? They were good what? Listeners. They had the ability to hear the word of God. God is doing the same thing today. You're not going to get anything from the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get anything from God until you learn to listen. And that's the same thing that Solomon said. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, or the best, is the number one thing. That's the number one thing. Get wisdom, and all these other things will be added to you. And many people want to get all the abundance of God, all the grace of God, but they don't want to get any wisdom from God. So if you want to get something from God, you better pray with all of your heart to give you a listening ear and an understanding heart. It's no time to be catching whatever you can catch off the TV. Maybe the people that were afar off, that weren't up close, that could hear what he was saying, maybe they were getting it because they got it like anybody played the telephone game where you whisper in somebody's ear, and they whisper in somebody's ear, and then you find out. Now, imagine a multitude with everybody there. You had Pharisees there, scribes there. You know, and I'm sure they changed everything he said. Imagine what people actually got. So if you wanted to hear Jesus, how did you want to hear him? Up close. That's the same way you receive from God. Don't get it secondhand. Go straight to the anointing of the Holy Ghost and get it for yourselves.
And when he was alone.
What does "when he was alone" mean?
He was alone.
What is it? Okay, read a little bit more.
Those around him with the 12.
Okay, it said those around him with the 12. So it wasn't just the 12 disciples. It wasn't just the 12 disciples. Who else was there?
Those around him.
Okay. So can you understand what I'm saying? Whoever was close enough. Whoever was close enough got what blessing?
They got to hear the secrets.
They got to hear what the teaching meant. And some people didn't even know he was having a second class. How much have you been missing? Just because you're so far out there. You ever had people try to discern the anointing of the Holy Ghost for you? Instead of people sitting up under the Spirit themselves. Well, this is what's going on. This is, you know, I didn't agree with this, and I didn't agree with that. Changing the grace for you. Get up close. When you get close and you come with an ear and a heart and an intent to listen, you're going to get a whole lot more. The messages will mean a whole lot more to you. When you come and you said, when I went to Christ for the Nation, I got first to second row. And I sat there and I said, I'm going to sit here the whole time. I'm going to be right. I'm paying my money to get this. I'm going to sit right here. And I'm going to get the best seat. And when that wasn't good enough, I got in stage crew and I was on the platform. I was going to hear what I needed to hear.
And he said to them, "To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to these, those outside, all things are being given in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should convert and sins be forgiven to them." And he said to them, "Do you not know this parable? And how will you know all parables?"
Wow. You get this one, you'll get them all. How many ready to get them all? He said, if you can grab a hold of this one, you'll get it all. How many glad you were close enough? I'm right in the middle of it, and say, I'm not going to be pushed out either. I'm right around him right now. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to be one of those right there. But you know what? If we do the works of Jesus Christ and we forget this world and leave this world behind us and leave our prosperity to Jesus and start to think about his kingdom, we'll come in big and we'll come in strong. We can win the whole city. How many want to win the whole city? We got some work to do. We got some work to do. What are you going to go in the kingdom with? Are you well done? Or just, well, what is this?
The sower sows the word. And these are those by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes at once and takes the word, having been sown in their hearts.
Stop right there. The sower is... So who is the sower? God is the sower. The Holy Ghost is the sower. And whatever you're going to get from God, you're going to get by what he sows. That means your house, you're going to get from what? The word. That means your raise, you're going to get it from what? That means your peace in your family, you're going to get it where? Get it from the word. The word of God is payday. So say, I don't have nothing. You're not listening to nothing. Go out and receive it. And the first thing, we're going to learn how to get the word to take root in your heart. Say, the first problem with the word is what, Jesse?
The seed was sown and fell by the wayside.
And what happened?
Satan came at once and took the word.
Where does the seed fall?
On the wayside.
Now, who's been learning about paths? Mm-hmm. Anybody been learning about paths? And directions. That means what? And who came and took the word from him?
Satan.
Satan stole the word. Well, when you're on the wrong path, what are you in? What are you in? What's the wrong path?
Sin.
You're missing the mark.
Sin.
You're in sin. Throwing it on the wayside. You can't receive anything from God when you're not walking right. You're in sin. You're missing the mark. You're on your own path. You're on your own way. It's the wayside instead of the straight and narrow path that God has for you. You got to find out what's God's path and God's direction for your life. Get in sync with what God wants to do with you, and you'll be able to hear a word. And when you're in God's path, guess what? The devil can't steal it. He can't steal from you when you're on his path. He's got protected highways. It's protected. How many times are having the devil steal from you? The Bible says he will lead me back beside the still waters and green pastures. God will take you to the place where you don't got to fight hell just to hold on to a word. So many people are living in environments and living in circumstances and living in situations where they can't hold on to anything. Wayside. I mean, they hear a good word sown on Sunday morning. They get on the path and they got all kind of chickens clucking in the background, best friends talking, relatives, negative talk here, negative talk. You can't hold on to anything when you're in the wrong path. You're on your path. You might be on the path with those that don't walk by faith. It's hard to walk by faith if you're the only one trying to walk in faith. In the path of the righteous, there are people. One of the things you're blessed with is other people that are walking in the same direction that you're walking in. Then you won't let the devil won't be able to steal the word from you. See, many people wonder why they're not able to produce anything out of their life is because they're on the wayside. Wayward. They don't know which way they're going. Get in the straight and narrow path, and you will defeat the devil every time. When you're in the wayside, the devil can get to your mind. I mean, by the time you're out of the church, it's gone. Your first enemy is Satan himself. They can't sit through church and the enemy starts messing with their mind, trying to steal that word. They can't get through the door while the enemy is not sitting there struggling and beating them over the head to steal that word from you. You know that's not true. You know, trying to distract them. Spiritual forces are at you, trying to come at you so that you can't hear the word of God, trying to cloud your mind. You got to take every thought captive and say, no, devil, shut up. I'm going to receive this word. Problems start to come in your head. I mean, you start to get distracted by the green leaves in the carpet. Thief. When the word is going forth, anything that causes you not to be focused on what the Holy Ghost is trying to give you, it's an open door for the enemy to come in and steal that word from you. Chatter in church. The devil trying to steal the word from you. Write down the word distraction. And what distractions do, it's like the key. You get focused in on that distraction and you open the door and the devil comes right in. And before you know it, you're gone. So your first enemy to you receiving from God, distraction equals destruction. You got to get yourself in a warring team. I'm not just out to see church where people just sit up there and sing songs. I want an army of the Holy Ghost. We're in this thing for many souls.
And likewise, these are the ones being sown on the stony places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, yet they have no root in themselves, but are temporary. Then trouble or persecution having occurred through the word, immediately they are offended.
So here's another thief.
Here's another thief.
Keeping my money from me.
Yeah, that's right.
Keeping me from being productive.
Yes.
Read it, Jesse.
And likewise, these are the ones being sown on the stony places.
Somebody say stony places.
Stony places.
Read on.
Who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy.
Somebody say, oh, they're the ones that say amen in church.
Yeah.
They're the ones that jump up and down and shout and fall out. And they hear the word and it was so good. Woo, hallelujah. Whoa, did you hear that? Did you? Woo, Jesus. You ever seen it? So you can receive a word with joy. But just because you get joy in church doesn't mean you're going to keep what you got in church. Read on.
Yet they have no root in themselves.
What? They have no what?
Root in root. Themselves.
Somebody say it's okay to get joy when you got roots.
Yes.
I'm tired of seeing a bunch of people full with joy with no roots. Float here, float there, float everywhere. People that have no roots, no stability, no foundation, they don't produce. Be joyful, but be planted. A tree, if you keep moving a tree and keep digging a tree up and putting a tree over there, dig it up, put it over here, dig it up and put it over there, what kind of quality of a fruit is that tree going to bear? Put it in the ground and leave it there. What's the longest you ever had a potted plant? Have you ever ate anything off a potted plant? You ever ate anything from a potted plant? Anybody got it? How many of you think those sun-kissed oranges? Sun-kissed oranges. How many think they got a greenhouse with potted plants and they pluck the oranges off potted plants? Those trees are what? Planted. That's why they say Florida oranges. Listen, you ain't going to receive no from anybody. That's why God sends you pastors to teach the word. And people are going to sit there and plant it and say, hey, I'm here for the long haul and you can eat this fruit. You will not produce until you decide that this is where I'm at. I don't care how rough it gets. I ain't going nowhere. If God wants me, he's going to have to come and dig me up and put me someplace and bury me there. Other than that, I'm right here. And I'm going to bring forth fruit in my season. The Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Everybody say, plant me, Jesus. Plant me, Jesus. What happened? You'd be on the brink of your breakthrough, on the brink of your miracle, and then right by the time it was time for you to come for, you cut your roots up and book off. Stop it in Jesus' name. Get a root within yourself. Trials and tribulations will come. Just because you got some opposition doesn't mean that you're in the wrong place. There are seasons in the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's spring. And the weather's great and you get all this rain and that is God's will. Then sometimes it gets pretty hot and you don't get much rain. It's just hot and you don't feel like you can make it. Then you pray for a break and then it turns to fall. and then the winter comes and it gets cold. But it turns around. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. Every place, listen, it's not, you're going to go through some stuff and you're going to have some challenges. And you need to endure. Don't uproot yourself just because things change a little bit. It'll come. Say, seasons come and seasons go. And when you're really with God, there's going to be seasons where God doesn't do anything but speak the word into you. Nothing's going to be happening. All he's doing is teaching you and teaching. He's planting in you. He's planting the word in you, and he's planting the word in you. And then after he plants the word in you, you know what happens? Nothing. You're just waiting for the word to come to pass. Just waiting there. And many people don't ever become prospered or don't ever come to fruit because they don't endure all the stages that God wants them to go through. There are four seasons of faith that God is working in you. You got to know where you are in your faith. Are you in a planting season? Are you in your intimacy season of faith? Or are you in impregnation? Are you impregnated with the word of God? Are you in travail? Are you bringing forth the blessings of God? That's a season. Or are you nurturing your blessing? Read on, Jesse.
Yet they have no root in themselves, but are temporary.
Let me tell you, don't use anything temporary. And I would call intimacy the springtime of faith. It's an intimacy season. That's usually worship comes around and, you know, intimacy, springtime. And in intimacy season, I believe that is impregnation. Intimacy, and that's where you're going to grab a hold of the word of God and you're going to become pregnant in your intimacy season. Pregnant with the word of God. There's a hunger. Has anybody noticed points in your life where you just want to learn more about God and you don't understand? It's just knowledge. I mean, you just want the word. You just want the word. You feel the word of God drawing you and you just can't get enough of church and you want to hear the word. Not just to worship, but you just want to spend time with Jesus and you want to spend time under the word. Well, that is an important season. That's an anointing and that's a grace from God. That's called the season of intimacy. And what God wants to do to you in the season of intimacy is he wants to impregnate you with the word of God. Can't keep you out of the word. And see, when you grow up in the Lord, you learn to live in multi-dimensions where you have all the seasons going on at the same time. You can't force these seasons. You got to flow with the Spirit in it. Do you know which season you're in? So that's the first season. Second season, I call it the summertime. After you go through that wonderful season of impregnancy, you know, where God is giving you the word and you're enjoying the word and you're planting it in your heart, guess what happens? You get pregnant. And this is a time when you're just carrying the word. It's not as sweet anymore. You got this baby on the inside of you kicking. And you wonder, what was I listening to that stuff for? You got this vision, this dream on the inside of you. And you said, I would have been fine if I didn't hear that man preaching. Now I got myself in all this trouble. Now I haven't seen this good thing. It's on the inside of me. I would get it out of me if I could. You got to watch out for the season of impregnation. I see people that are pregnant in the word all the time. They get so frustrated, tired of being pregnant, they can't run like they used to. They walk a little different. They wobble. You know, they used to be real fast about stuff, but now they don't know what's going on. What's going on? There's something on the inside of you. You're a little bit more stable. You would have run a long time ago. Somebody say, I don't see no baby. Why can't you go? I don't know. I'm pregnant. Say, I can't move. When I lay down, it's hard for me to get back up. How many of you are pregnant? How many of you are pregnant? You done heard a word from the Holy Ghost. I believe somebody in here is pregnant with $1 million. I'm pregnant with $1 million, a Mercedes-Benz, a brand new house, an effective ministry. Pregnant. It ain't going to come from the Holy Ghost until you get impregnated by it. What are you pregnant with? Jesus didn't come until the Virgin Mary got pregnant. How many of you want a miracle from the Holy Ghost? Well, if you want a miracle from the Holy Ghost, just don't speak it out of your mouth. You better go and get yourself pregnant. You better get up under a good ministry and hear the preached word. Have it preached to you. Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Fellowship with the Spirit of God. Guess what will happen? The word of God will take root in your heart and you'll become pregnant. You'll get impregnated with a good future. And see, many people got to realize that's why you got to know the seasons. You eat different things when you're pregnant than when you weren't pregnant. You can't hear negative stuff when you're pregnant. You can't go out and have all this hot sauce. you'll get yourself in trouble. And I tell you what, I've seen some pregnant women 8 months and 2 weeks. Then women say, I don't care if this thing is ever born, just get it out now. I don't even care anymore. Just get it out. It's hot. I mean, and it's amazing. The worst time to be pregnant is in the summertime, especially in Texas. You're sweating. You're hot. See, many people are getting upset because they're pregnant. They're getting all frustrated. Oh, what did I get involved with this for? How many are pregnant? What do you do when you're pregnant? There's only one thing you can do. What can you do? Wait. And eat. Feed that seed that's on the inside of you. Amen. Wait on it. There's an appointed time. That baby is going to come out. And you got to realize when you're pregnant, sometimes I think that's why God lets that baby kick every now and then. It might hurt, but he lets it kick every now and then and let you know, I'm still here. How many need a kick from your baby? There ain't nothing kicking on the inside. I find out what's going on. Every once in a while, that 20,000-member church starts kicking. Don't you abort your miracle. Somebody grab a hold of that thing that you're impregnated with and thank God for it. Thank God for the seed. Amen. You're pregnant. I mean, listen, you wanted to get that ranch. If I remember the ranch, you know God did. You want that ranch, brother. You're getting up under the word. You're about to get impregnated with the ranch. You just got a desire. You put on your makeup to look real good and get with the Holy Ghost. You got to look good for the Holy Ghost. You got to put on some praise and worship. Here I am, Jesus. I'm the bride. I'm telling you how to get your miracle. Many people wonder why they're not pregnant. Would God want to impregnate you? You always griping and complaining. Anybody ever? That's not how you catch anything. You better put on some praise. Put on some worship. Those are things that make the Holy Ghost come to you. Here I am, Lord. Be it unto me even as thy will. And when God starts to fellowship with you, I tell you what, something's going to happen. Spring, summer, and summer is just when you're pregnant. Then comes the fall. Well, you know what happens in the fall? That's harvest time. Give birth. There's something you got to learn. The intercessors know about this one. Listen, when the time is right, you can't in 6 months just say, all right, I'm tired of being pregnant. I'm going to push this thing out now. I mean, you just don't decide when you're going to start to push. There's a season and there's a time to push. I mean, listen, it can be 9 months just because you're 9 months is up now. Okay, that's the date I'm going to start pushing and get my baby. When the vision is ready, when the vision is ready, not when you think you are. When your baby's ready to come, your vision's not worried about what you got going on in your hand. That baby doesn't hear you when you say, I'm tired of being pregnant. I wish this thing would come on up. And that baby says, well, mama's ready for me to come. I'm going to come. That baby's going to wait until it's what? Ready. And then when that set time comes, something happens. Things just start to happen. It's time to travail. See, and many people don't have any baby because they're not willing to travail. Do you know if you have a baby and you don't travail, many people have lost their babies in birth because they didn't know how to travail. There are many people that have lost their ministries because they didn't know how to travail. Many people have lost their vision, lost their visions, ministries, businesses, dreams, and miracles because they were unwilling to travail. So when your miracle is ready to manifest, I tell you what, you need to get in harvest time and push. You got to push. You got to put something to it. You got to walk in the Spirit. Somebody say, I'm ready to go grab it. Amen. See, it's a different. Listen, there was one season where you had to wait. You just had to wait until it was ready. But when it was ready, you had to put yourself with it and get in there and make it happen. You're going to hear this word. And I'm going to tell you what. You're going to hear the word of God. It's going to get planted in your heart. Then you're going to have to stand in faith for it for a season and just keep it on the inside. Then God says, now is the time. Then you're going to have to take some steps in the natural, put some faith and some action to it to see that thing come to pass. I believe that's the season we're about to go out into a church. You're about ready to be pushed out into the world to bring forth the fruits that God wants you to have. You've set up under the word. You've heard all this stuff. You believed it long enough. It's about time you get out there and start to walk it out. There are times where you've got to go. You know, there are two different types of faith, too, and many people get messed up because they don't know the difference between offensive faith and defensive faith. The harvest time, I'm telling you what, harvest time is offensive faith. That's when you get aggressive. Summertime, you might want to go into, I'm not talking about just the seasons, I'm talking about spiritually. When you're pregnant, you need to have some defensive faith. But in the right time, something happens on the inside of you. Defensive faith, say, I will wait on the Lord. Amen. I will trust in my God. I shall not be moved. See, those are things you claim in defensive faith time. Anybody ever been there? The devil's out there trying to carry on, trying to make you run, trying to make you do all that kind of stuff. But all you need to do is just sit there. Don't let nobody. Somebody said, you need to do this. You need to do that. In the time of defensive faith, listen, let me tell you what your faith said. Sit there and don't you do a thing. Wait on the Lord. He will encourage your heart. Don't you let the devil chase you. You got to do this. You don't got to do nothing but wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Don't pay no attention to that. Say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to sit here. Devil said, get out of your place. Move, 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 move. Then you need to plant yourself. Defensive faith. Don't even pay attention to the devil. When the time is right, God's going to anoint you and you're going to switch it. You're going to get the ball in your side. There's a time when it's not wise just to go and run for it. You got to hear the Holy Ghost. There's a time when you just need to sit back and hear the word and prepare yourself. Get in that secret place and build yourself up. Amen. And just don't give up any grounds. Defensive faith means that many people think that defensive faith is just let the devil do whatever he wants to do. No, you got to get on the defense. You don't give up any ground. It's like a football game. Don't let the devil get over on you. Say, I ain't moving. I said, I'm going to stay right here because I know if I can wait here long enough, the ball's going to come on my side. There's going to be a switch. I'm going to tell you, if you're going through some stuff right now, don't worry about it. The ball is coming your way. Somebody's going to catch a pass. Somebody's going to fumble or something's going to go on. Somebody on your side is going to get the ball on your court. Amen. And when the ball gets on your court, guess what? You go forward. Never back, always forward. I believe this encourages some people because people get discouraged because they say, I'm not going anywhere. Don't worry about it. It's defense time. Just stay planted. Didn't you look at some people that gave up territory? They were wondering why they weren't going forward. Listen, it was not the time. It was not the season. You were in defense. You got to learn to play ball. As long as you didn't go back, you're all right. Stand there and wait. It's coming back. Let the devil know that. The devil knows it too. Devil wants to get you distracted. See, devil wants you to get distracted. Why don't you got the ball? Why aren't you going forward? Because I'm not supposed to right now. I'm just supposed not to let you push me back. I'm just going to make sure you don't go forward. See, when you go back, he goes forward. Do you understand? Anybody ever seen a football game? When you're in defense, listen, when you're in defense, that means he's in offense. And every time you go back, and many times people go back because they're trying to go forward. If you focus, listen, don't think offense when you're in defense. Think, this is my job. He is not, I'm not giving up any ground. It'll turn. Hold your ground. What is it? What's going on in your life? You know where you're at. Don't get discouraged. Say, I ain't giving up no ground. I'm a pregnant woman playing goalie. And then the time comes. Something happens. They say, ball's in your favor. That's when you change. You know, that man that's been sitting in the devil thing, he don't go anywhere. All he does is stay in there. You know, he's off guard. He said he don't move anywhere. But all of a sudden, something changes. Change goes on. All of a sudden, that little defensive man turns into an offensive player. And he starts to run forward. Oh, there's a time to run forward. You're about to enter into the time to run forward. I can catch the pass. I can catch the word of God and run. Don't ever stop. There's a time to run. Anybody ready to run? Let's get it. So you're understanding your season? Second, so we got to intimacy, pregnancy, and travail. Travail is when you turn on offensive faith. When you start to push it out, you got it. Last one, promise. Promise. That's when you just enjoy it. God gives you a season just to enjoy it. Because I could never figure out the wintertime. What's the wintertime supposed to be? If you did all your other seasons right, you can curl up by the fire. Set yourself a fire, curl up by the fire, and just enjoy your victory. He doesn't run you all over the place. It means that things are just going good. That's the double portion blessing. You did your part, and then in the wintertime, God's doing his parts. You're just sitting back, and he's taking the ball farther than what you ever could have done. And you think it doesn't, and you think it can't get much better than this. I mean, and see, that's what gets, it can't get much better. I'm just enjoying the promises of God. I done given birth to my miracle, and I done got my breakthrough. I'm living in my ranch, and I'm driving my car, and my bills are paid. And you get up there and you start enjoying it. See, and that's what many people get off. They don't understand the seasons. And many people just get stuck there. They just get stuck in their previous victory, their previous blessing. You know, don't just stop with your $25,000. Thank God for it. Don't just stop with a new car or a new house or a new job or a new blessing or a new building or a new addition. See, many people miss it. And you should expect, as I'm in my miracle, as I'm in my blessing. See, that's a winter time. You got to understand, when you got the blessing already and everything's taken care of, you don't have anything to worry about, and you curled up by the fire, expect a knock on the door. I'm just enjoying my blessing, and many people miss their blessing because they're in that time of promise. And see, they think it can't get much better than this. I'm enjoying my new house. I'm enjoying my new car. I'm enjoying everything the way it is. Just leave it as it is. But all of a sudden, you're getting a knock at the door. And what is it? It's the season of intimacy again. God says, I know that's nice, but we can do much better than this. Come on, let me talk to you about what I want to do next. I do it all over again. See, that's where many people have left off. They said, I'm just going to stay here in winter, you know, but you're going to be in trouble. It's going to get old. Listen for the knock of the door. When everything's all together and you think it's all over, is there a knock on the door? You think it's all good, but God say, hey, I can do much more than this. The seasons of faith. Where are you at? Ask the Holy Ghost to reveal to you what season you're in. Just meditate in your heart and ask God to tell you what season you're in. I'm hearing some good things. What do you do when you're pregnant? You just start to worship and just enjoy Jesus. Say, just come to every service you can. See, pregnancy, when you're about to get pregnant and you're getting pregnant, don't miss a meeting. Don't miss a prayer time. Don't miss a devotion. See, that's the season. Get there. That season won't be on you. The grace to catch everything, and to catch the extra stuff won't be on you forever. That's the Holy Ghost. You should always keep your quiet time. Never miss Sunday. Never miss some services. But there's an extra anointing on you to hear the word, and then God will open up doors for you to make the word available. Let me tell you about this. If you prepare yourself in the wintertime, preparation for intimacy. You notice that we said that God loves to meet people in the place of prosperity. He's been blessed you, and he said, now I want to get involved with that blessing you got. I want to enjoy it with you. I done blessed you with that new job or that new house or whatever it is. Now I want to enjoy that house with you. Say, I'm sitting in my blessing, enjoying it, thank God for it, waiting for the next one. The best time to get blessed is right after you've been blessed. Say, I'm listening. It pays off. Listen, you know what God will do for you in the winter? In the winter time, see, you're not doing anything. And see, what God is doing, he's multiplying what you're doing. See, what you did in travail, God is doing his part while you're in winter. He's doing abundance in winter. That means the blessing that you thought that you worked for yourself, God said, now watch what I do. I'm going to put my extras on it. Don't forget your extras. People bring you presents at Christmas time, don't they? Stuff you weren't expecting. He can do more than that. Say, God is overdoing it. Say, the winter is the overdue time. That's when you speak to your stuff and say, get better. Say, there's some presents under the tree I haven't even opened yet. The time that you really have to watch out for counterfeits is the springtime. The devil comes trying to look real good.
Yet they have no root in themselves, but are temporary. Then trouble or persecution having occurred through the word, immediately they are offended.
Okay, let me look at me. Say this and write this down. Temporary people get offended. So don't worry about their offense. They're temporary. Always offended by this, always offended by that. It's temporary. Deal with it or you'll be temporary. And you ever notice about them people that get offended? They came because they were mad at some other place. They get mad at the last place they were at. Then they come over here because they have no root. No root, temporary people, always offended. And they don't. And don't worry when they go. Let me tell you, when they leave, don't worry about it because they can't produce anything anyhow.
These are those being sown to the thorns, those hearing the word and the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust about other things entering in. They choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Last one. Say, this is what you get attacked with.
This is what you get attacked.
Look out for this. When you get into the winter season. After you get blessed, don't allow those blessings to get you. You get blessed, but don't let your blessings get you.
God.
Don't allow the cares of this world. Don't get so caught up in your blessing that you can't hear the knock on the door. God bless you with a new big screen TV. Don't turn it up so loud that you can't hear him knock on the door when he calls you. There have been a lot of people that I've seen get lost in the winter season. So don't allow the cares. Don't allow your riches and those things. Get riches, but don't make sure you have money, but money doesn't have you. People that are controlled by money and dictated by money and dictated by finance and so stuck in their money, guess what? They are unfruitful. That's the last enemy you got to watch out for. People think they got it made. You know, they made it through all these other things, and all of a sudden they finally get blessed. And after they get there, then the enemy comes in, and the cares of the world try to destroy them. And the enemy you need to look out for is the worldliness and lust.
And these are those being sown on good ground.
Somebody say good ground.
Good ground.
Somebody say good ground.
Good ground.
Then I believe when Jesus taught that, he was talking about, he said, now these are those. He looked around himself and said, these are those. See, that's what I'm saying tonight. These are those people that have come out of the multitude. See, in the multitude, there was a chance of what would happen. See, the multitude just threw the word out there, and whatever came out of it, came out of it. But when Jesus got them off to themselves, and he looked at them, he said, and these are those. Why did he say these are those? Obviously, he could see them. So I'm saying to you, these are those. This is the good ground. Don't worry about the multitude of people you don't see here. These are those. Who are these? Who are these people he's talking about?
Disciples. And these are those being sown on good ground, who hear and welcome the word.
Hear it? You got to hear it. And do what with it once you get it?
Welcome it.
Go on.
And bring forth fruit.
See, those were the people that don't bring forth fruit. See, they get fruit. You can have fruit, but not bring forth fruit.
130 and 160 and 100-fold.
Then which one are you? 30, 60, or 100-fold? Somebody said, I'm ready to see the money come in. Well, start giving it. Maybe you reap what you sow. Sow it, reap it. Somebody say, you reap what you sow.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.